From WCMU Public Media, this is Between the Lakes, a weekly recap of the top news stories impacting Central and Northern Michigan. I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Coming up on the show, historic flooding put 6 dams in critical condition earlier this month. Now state officials are demanding action.
We are grappling with a new moment. 100-year-old infrastructure is not up to this moment.
More on the future of dam safety and where we go from here. And I'm sure this week's brain teaser will make your brain roll. Stay with us for that. But first, these headlines. Michigan motorists are gasping at gas prices. Prices spiked this week at many Michigan gas stations, up to and above $5 a gallon for unleaded. Pump prices soared in response to refinery issues and the ongoing global crude oil disruption caused by the Iran war. Patrick DeHaan is an industry analyst with GasBuddy.com. He admits the direction of gas prices is unclear going into the summer travel season.
This is one of the rare instances in my career where I can't really tell you. I don't know what to expect in a month. I can't tell anyone else what to expect if I don't. If you are planning to hit the road, I would certainly set aside potentially $5 or $6 a gallon if that's going to make or break you.
DeHaan predicts it will take the global crude oil market a year to recover from the closing of the Strait of Hormuz. Michigan prisons have a staffing issue. There are job vacancies. Workers say there are dangerous conditions inside the prison because of staffing issues, and it's particularly bad at prisons in the Upper Peninsula. In March, State Senator John DeMoose made a speech on the Senate floor.
The state is treating these officers like dogs, and that is not an overstatement. What I saw reminds me of the worst stories I've seen in the history of labor. It was literally out of an Upton Sinclair novel.
The remoteness of the UP can play a role in making things worse, says Matt Larson, a Wayne State University professor who serves on the Training Council for Michigan Correctional Officers.
For years in Michigan and many other states, there's been a real push to place prisons in rural places where populations are limited. The consequence of that is that you have far fewer people who are able to become correctional officers.
For years, state officials have pushed for faster wage increases among prison workers. You can find an in-depth report linked in the show notes. Bills meant to keep kids safe online passed in the Michigan Senate this week. Colin Jackson has more.
The bill package would stop kids from using social media without parental consent, ban targeted advertising directed at kids, and create new restrictions on AI chatbots available to children. Democratic State Senator Darren Camilleri says federal policies don't do enough to protect kids.
We are now having to step in at the state level in order to do something.
But Republican Senate Minority Leader Eric Nesbitt says the state should ban everyone under 16 from using social media, period.
And if we really care about ending this addiction that is harming our kids, we need to cut off the supply. Not half measures that this is.
The business community has raised concerns about an extra burden the bills could place on online platforms. I'm Colin Jackson at the Capitol.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer says the whole Michigan State Senate is resting on the result of a special election next week. Voters in parts of Midland, Bay, and Saginaw counties are voting to fill the 35th Senate district seat that has been vacant for nearly a year and a half. Result will determine whether Democrats can keep their majority in the chamber or if it will be evenly split between Democrats and Republicans. Wednesday, Whitmer rallied Democrats in Bay City at a Get Out the Vote event.
This is an election that sets the table for the whole state of Michigan as we go into this important election year in November. This is an election everyone's watching.
There is some concern, however, that not everyone is watching. With a special election day falling outside the usual campaign season and on Cinco de Mayo. And now it's time for this week's brain teaser. I'll pull from a hat either a random fun fact, a riddle, or a quiz question, all meant to tease your brain this weekend. So let's draw today's teaser. And today's teaser is a Michigan-based riddle. Here we go. I'm a famous hill on the West Coast. Cars rolling uphill is how I'm known most. But you must remain neutral to enjoy the confusion. Is it really going up or an optical illusion? What road am I? Again, I'm a famous hill on the West Coast. Cars rolling uphill is how I'm known most. But you must remain neutral to enjoy the confusion. Is it really going up or an optical illusion? What road am I? The answer after this. Mass flooding swept across Michigan earlier this month, rapidly raising water levels that destroyed roads and homes. During the height of the flooding, six dams were in critical condition, and officials are still working around the clock to lower water levels at the Sheboygan Dam. WCMU's Emma George Griffin reviewed dam safety research and spoke to various officials to find out how Michigan plans to address dam safety moving forward. She spoke with A.J. Jones.
From my understanding, Emma, Michigan's dams are old. What does the infrastructure need in the coming years?
That's right. There are around 2,500 dams in Michigan, and most of them have exceeded their 50-year lifespan, and some are more than 100 years old. Luke Trumbull, the supervisor for the Dam Safety Unit at EGLE, the state's environment department, says dams will need follow-up and evaluations to assess any damage. At a press conference during the flooding, Governor Gretchen Whitmer said Michigan's dams aren't up to par, and most dams around the country aren't either.
We are grappling with a new moment. 100-year-old infrastructure is not up to this moment, no matter where you live in this country. And I think that's a truth that all governments and private entities are going to have to grapple with.
The Association of Dam Safety Officials estimated that dams needed $1 billion in repairs in the state of Michigan.
Does Michigan plan on doing those repairs?
The state can assess and is assessing dams and determining what repairs they need, but ultimately it's the dam owner's responsibility to pay for those repairs or removal. But most of Michigan's dams are actually privately owned. So even when the state mandates repairs, some dam owners can't afford it. Trumbull said sometimes there are temporary alternatives to preventing a dam failure, like lowering water levels, but that isn't always applicable.
The state can step in and issue orders, and then when the owner does not do anything, we can take action at a dam.
But Trumbull says EGLE has limited resources to actually do that. After the Edenville Dam collapsed, a task force researched the state's dams and gave the governor recommendations to help, you know, Michigan avoid more dam failures. One of those recommendations was creating a grant program that dam owners could apply for. That was in place for a few years, but now that funding has dried up.
So you have this task force. Have there been any other changes recommended by, you know, the task force since the Edenville Dam break?
Yeah, they gave 86 recommendations. Some involved creating a standalone dam safety unit and launching that grant program to help dam owners pay for essential repairs. And those changes were implemented. But a lot of the other recommendations involved changing Michigan law to expand oversight with regulations and inspection, and creating an emergency fund and dedicating yearly funding to that grant. A bill actually addressed those recommendations, and it was drafted in 2021. It never made it out of committee.
So have lawmakers tried to draft anything since those initial recommendations?
Yeah. In January, Republican Representative Bill G. Schuette introduced a new bill that covers a lot of the same things. And it even includes new design standards to help dams withstand more intense weather as the climate is changing. Trumbull says he's rooting for this legislation to pass.
Just having stronger laws doesn't make dams safer, right? It's the implementation and of those projects that are stemmed by the stronger laws. And that's going to take some time.
Trumbull says EGLE is trying to address issues at high-risk dams as soon as they can. But without that legislation, there's less money to fund those efforts.
Got it. So what have dam operators been doing to take care of these dams while, you know, they're waiting for dam safety legislation to pass?
Some dams are managed by the Department of Natural Resources. They've actually spent $51 million on repairing dams since 2020. This year, the state only gave the department $1.45 million for dams, so they're seeking other sources of funding. Trumbull says there's still funding opportunities left for dam removals at the state and federal level. So dam owners may be opting to remove their dams rather than paying for repairs. Another option is the public will pay for the repairs. We saw this when a special assessment was issued for homeowners in Midland and Gladwin counties to raise money to fix the Secord, Smellville, Sanford, and Edenville dams after the 2020 break. And in Bel Air, Michigan, the village is working to do something similar to raise money for the 100-year-old dam that was at high risk of failing during this month's flooding.
Thanks for explaining all of this, Emma.
Thank you, AJ.
And that was WCMU's Emma George Griffin speaking with AJ Jones. Now it's time to reveal the answer to this week's brain teaser. We read you this Michigan-based riddle. I'm a famous hill on the West Coast. cars rolling uphill is how I'm known most. But you must remain neutral to enjoy the confusion. Is it really going up or an optical illusion? What road am I? The answer is the Putney Road Gravity Hill in Arcadia, Michigan. Yes, although the sensation of defying gravity may seem real, the optical illusion is caused by an obstructed horizon and the way the surrounding hills, trees, and landscape are angled, making a slight downhill slope appear to be an uphill slope while still rolling downhill. Make sense? I don't know about you, but my brain was spinning to get that answer. Hopefully it didn't rotate yours. And that's all for this edition of Between the Lakes. Don't forget to subscribe to the Between the Lakes newsletter linked in the show notes, where you'll find more of our reporting and analysis from across the region. Visit our website, radio.wcmu.org, to find out how to listen to your local WCMU radio station. This podcast is produced in part by the members of NABIT Local 412. It was edited and mixed by Rick Brewer. Our theme music comes from Gabe Shaw. Mike Horace is our executive producer, and I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Enjoy your weekend.